Hi, good morning. I'm Pastor Howard Shea, and I want to especially welcome those of you who come here for the first time, and visitors, and also great to see all of you. I'm excited to bring you this message this morning, and this morning is coming from the book of Joel, and it's talking about God's promise of restoration. So let's bow in a word of prayer before we go into God's word. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just want to praise you and thank you for your steadfast love and your compassion. And Lord, as we remember all the people who suffered so much during the fires and the natural disasters, Lord, we just pray that you would just really minister to them and also speak to us through your word in the book of Joel. Lord, just bless our time together and may you be glorified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hi, good morning, brothers and sisters and friends. I don't know about you, but during the last several weeks, you know, as we're hearing the news about the devastating wildfires at home here around Anaheim Hills and also in Northern California, I don't know about you, but you know, my heart really breaks, you know, for all those people who've lost their homes and lost everything they had. I remember a couple of days ago just hearing about, you know, thousands of people in the Bay Area, around Napa, Sonoma County, that they just lost everything they had and they weren't able to go back and even retrieve any of the things that they had. And so, you know, as we're looking at all the devastation and natural disasters, sometimes we're wondering, well, how do we make of this? You know, where is God in all of this? And so I believe that the book of Joel has a very important message to speak to us this morning. And so here's a picture of the devastating wildfires and so many homes and so much property lost. I remember going to a Lifeway Christian bookstore in Irvine, one of my favorite places to hang out. And I was talking to the sales lady, and she said that, hey, can you pray for my church? You know, it's just right along the 91 and 241, and the fire is about 1 mile away. And so I got a chance to pray for her and also, you know, just praying for some people in Northern California as well. And as you know, just see how people have just lost their homes, you know, and just heartbreaking to see all these people just being displaced. Now, a similar disaster happened during the time of Joel. And in the time of Joel, and Joel was written around between the 7th and 5th century B.C., and there was a huge natural disaster. But the natural disaster was a very devastating locust plague. And I've never seen a locust plague before, but this was so devastating that the locusts just went through the whole land and ate up all the vegetation, okay, ravaged the land. And not only did the locusts ravage the land, but there was some other things that happened. All the storehouses and the granaries were in ruins. And those people in Judah at that time, they lived in an agrarian society, you know, so all their wealth, all their belongings has to deal with granaries, the wheat, that's their storehouses where they depend on their living every day. And also the cattle had no food. And then to add to that, fires devoured the pastures. And the prophet Joel talks about that. And so I was wondering, God, you know, how can we be able to address what happened with the wildfires? And so there are four insights I'd like to share with you this morning from the book of Joel. And first insight is this. When we see natural disasters like the wildfires or earthquakes or a pestilence or things that happen in the world today, they're a foretaste of what the day of the Lord is like. You know, in the book of Joel, he talks a lot about the day of the Lord. That's the coming of the visitation of the Lord in judgment and also bringing people to salvation. And also, second insight we can learn is the Lord calls us to worship him and repent so that we can be in the right relationship with God. You know, a lot of people today, they don't worship God, they worship idols, or, you know, they live a life that's separated from God, and God is calling people to worship and be in the right relationship with Him. And then thirdly, the Lord assures us that He is going to restore and renew His people. And we'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later. And fourthly, the Lord promises the gift of His Holy Spirit, which He will pour out on all people. And so these are four insights I wanted to share with you for this morning. Now, the first thing is this. The natural disasters show what the day of the Lord is like. Now, the day of the Lord is a very common theme among the prophets. And the day of the Lord is a time of God's visitation. God's time of visitation of judgment upon the wicked and salvation for those who repent. And the day of the Lord can come at any moment. But the day of the Lord reveals His sovereignty and over human powers and over human existence. And so as we're thinking about these natural disasters, they kind of point to what Jesus points out in the last days in Matthew chapter 24. You know, nations will rise against nations, kingdom against kingdom. There will be pestilence, there will be natural disasters, there will be earthquakes, and these are the beginning of the birth pains that are to come. Okay, and it shows that we're living in the last days. So we need to prepare ourselves for the day of the Lord. I mean, as we're listening to about the wildfires, one of the things that I was thinking about is, boy, if the fire jumps from Anaheim Hills to where we live, we got to get ready. And we have to, in a moment's notice, have to know exactly what to bring and at what time. We need to prepare ourselves. And the same here with the coming of the day of the Lord. We need to prepare ourselves, our lives. Are we ready to meet the Lord? Are we living lives of righteousness before the Lord? So let's read this verse here. This is taken from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 to 11. And the Apostle Peter also talks about the day of the Lord in the New Testament. And the day of the Lord, in this case, talks about, you know, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just read this together. "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed is coming." One of the things that phrases in this verse that caught my eye, did you notice the last phrase says, "speed is coming"? Isn't that an interesting phrase? That we can actually speed the coming of the Lord when we live holy and godly lives in preparation for His return. So we need to be prepared. You know, that's the first action point. And the second action point is that we need to repent before the Lord. And so in the book of Joel, Joel tells the people of Judah, you need to get right with God and you need to return to God. So let's read Joel chapter 2, verse 13. Let's read that together. It says, "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and He relents from sending calamity." One of my favorite phrases here is that word abounding in love. That word love in the Hebrew is a chesed, and that means His steadfast love, His covenant love, His faithful love. And that means that, you know, God is faithful even when we're unfaithful, and He's committed to His covenant. He is committed to His relationship with us, and He is faithful. So how can we be able to repent before the Lord? I'd like to share with you there are four steps that we can take to repent. Now, first of all, we need to forsake our idols. And that's what the prophet said to the people in Judah and Israel. You have to forsake your idols. You have to turn to the true God. Now, you know, around Asia, Then people might worship false gods like Buddha or other gods, you know, in India. But our idols today could be ourself, wealth, our career, anything that takes the place of God. We need to forsake our idols. And then we need to reject wickedness and sin. And part of that is guarding our hearts and our minds. What we watch, you know, what we dwell upon, we need to reject wickedness and sin in our lives. And then we need to acknowledge God daily and trust in Him in prayer. And then fourthly, we meditate on and obey His word daily. So these are ways that we can be able to repent before the Lord. And then the third action step that we can take is to worship God. We can worship Him every day. Let's read Joel chapter 2, verse 15 to 16. Let's read that together. It says, "Blow the trumpet in Zion. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the assembly. Bring together the elders and gather the children." And that was one of the things that the prophet Joel told the people in Judah. You know, get everybody together. Repent before the Lord. Get your life in right before the Lord and worship the Lord. Okay? And so how can we be able to worship the Lord? I mean, what can we do to worship God every day? I like to point to several things that we can be able to do. And one of the things that I like to do is I like to praise God. You know, not only when we're singing and worship, but I like to praise Him for being a faithful and true God. You know, He is a loving Father. He's a holy and righteous God. You know, we praise Him for His attributes. And then also, one of the things I like to do is to claim a scripture promise from the Lord. Like this scripture in James 1:5. Let's read that together. It says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given." Let me ask you a question. How many of you have to drive at least 30 minutes to work or to school? Okay, most of you, right? Okay, you know what's a really good time to worship the Lord? It's during your commute, right? When you're driving for 30 minutes, you know, rather than listening to depressing news or listening to music, you know, you can take that time to praise the Lord. You know, you can just praise God for His attributes. And one of the things I like to do is to reflect on the scripture promise like this. This was one of my favorite scripture promises because I don't know about you, but I need a lot of wisdom. And notice this verse that says, "God gives us generously without finding fault, and He will give us wisdom." I want to share with you one example of that. In 2013 to 2015, I was studying for a doctor of ministry at a Southern seminary. That's a Southern Baptist seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. And besides being the only Asian in my class, I'm the only Vineyard person in my class. Okay, so I'm surrounded by all these really smart young men, and they're all like a conservative Baptist, okay? And also, my dissertation was a 5-step healing model, okay? So I could have been from Mars. I mean, I was so different from all these guys, okay? And my advisor for my dissertation was a New Testament prof. Now, I don't know about you, but New Testament profs are very picky, and you know, they're very strict in how they grade. So every day, I was praying to the Lord. You know, I was praying, "God, please help me to write, especially the biblical basis for the 5-step healing model," right? So I prayed that every day. I asked people to pray. And, you know, after several months, God answered that prayer. And I was able to write the best I could. And, you know, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, I just wrote about all the biblical basis for why we should pray for healing for people, and seeing the example of Jesus and the apostles and the epistles. And make a long story short, God helped me, so I was able to finish all my classes within 2 years. And also, the biggest praise was this. My advisor, the New Testament prof, You know, when he signed off on my finished dissertation, he said, "You did a really good job with the exegesis of these passages." You know, and I was in cloud nine at that point. And I was going, wow, I was so happy because, you know, I'm probably the only vineyard person they will ever meet, Asian vineyard person, talking about five-step healing model, power evangelism, power healing, power this and power that. And they're going to read it, you know. And I was thinking, they're going to put it in the Southern Baptist Seminary Library and other people are going to read it, you know. And then you'll see healing is for today, power evangelism is for today, you know. So you know, that kind of made me really happy. So I just want to tell you that as you pray to God, as you claim scripture promises, you know, God really answers those prayers. So we can be able to praise God and worship God every day. Now, this is one of the points that I really like the most from the Joel, is God's promise of restoration. Now, judgment is never God's last word, but restoration is. Amen? Would you agree with that? God does not want to judge, but he wants to restore. Okay, and so this is one of my favorite verses in all of the book of Joel. After the people have been going through the famine, the devastation of all the locust plague, and seeing just everything all messed up, but what did God promise? Let's read this verse together. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. And I will repay you for the years that the locusts have eaten, the great locusts and the young locusts, the other locusts and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. Never again will my people be ashamed. My friends, even if you mess up, you sin against the Lord, come before the Lord, pray to him, ask for his forgiveness. God wants to restore you. Now, judgment is never the last word, but he always wants to restore you. He wants to forgive you, and especially if you've gone through tough times in your life. Now, if you've gone through a painful past, you've gone through some deep inner hurts in your life, rejection, things like that. Now, God wants to restore you as well. I wanted to share with you that this verse that I just put up here was very special to me because God fulfilled his promises to me in a very major way. This verse, the threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with wine and oil. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God. Now, a number of years ago, around 2006, around that time, that was when I was coming to this church, and I just came from my former church. At that time, something happened to me. I was diagnosed with hyperthyroid. And all of a sudden, I began to lose weight. And I lost about 40 pounds. Okay, so I was really skinny at that time. And what makes it worse was I was in transition at that time. And so financially, you know, I didn't know exactly what's going to happen to me. I didn't know how God was going to provide. But I remember God gave me that verse, this verse here. And I claimed that verse. And every day I just said, God, please fulfill this verse in my life. And you know what? God came through in very unexpected ways. For example, I remember I was preaching in the Chinese service at that time. And after service, there was a sister, and she came to me and she gave me an envelope. Said, Pastor Howard, I wanted to give this to you. Okay, and then I opened the envelope later. It was a check for $5,000. Okay, and then later on, someone else came to me and said, Howard, I have this. I want to give to you. another check for $3,000. Okay, and then later on, I was having dinner with my family, and I have my aunt and uncle, and they come to me and said, "Howard, we really care about you, and we're really concerned about you, so we want to give you this." And they gave me another $5,000. Okay, and I was just really blown away. I said, "Wow, Lord, I can't believe this." You know, and I really experienced God as my shepherd at that time. At that time, I kept reading Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures and beside still waters, and he refreshes my soul." I read that every day, and God really revealed that to me, and he was really my shepherd. So I want to tell you, my friends, that the Lord is real, and he really wants to restore you. And if you're in a time of great need, you know, you really need God to restore you from the years of locusts of Eden, turn to him for help, and God is going to pull through. So here's some of the assurances I wanted to share with you from my example, from real-life situation. God is telling you this, my friends. If you're going through a hard time, if you're going through a time of transition, if you're going through a time of need, God is saying, "I will help you. I will provide for you during the hard times. You just turn to me, and I am your good shepherd. I will restore you, and I will lift you up." If you have bad memories of the past, if you have hurts and wounds of the past, God is going to restore you, and he's going to lift you up. And then also, God's saying, "I will show you my love, and I will show you my presence in very unexpected ways." So God wants to assure you, my friends, that he's got your back. He's going to provide for you. He's going to be there during times of transition and the hard times when things are uncertain, when you don't know where you're going, how you're going to be provided for. Turn to him. He is your good shepherd. Amen? And lastly, God promises his spirit. Let's read this together in Joel chapter 2, verse 25 to 29. Let's read this together. "And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." Now, sorry, that's not part of the scripture here. But I just wanted to share with you that this is a really wonderful scripture. My friends, do you know that this is the new covenant experience of the Holy Spirit? In the Old Testament, only special people with special responsibility could receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. If you're a priest, if you're a prophet, if you're a king, if you're a person like Bezalel who has to design all the articles in the tabernacle, then you would receive the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit was only given to a select group of people. But in the last days, God says, "I will pour out my spirit on all people." And that includes men and women. You know, women receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this new covenant experience is different because he is an indwelling Holy Spirit, and it will not leave us. Okay, we can quench the spirit, but it will not leave us like it left Saul when he grievously disobeyed the Lord. Okay, the Holy Spirit is with us. Aren't you glad you have the Holy Spirit? Isn't that amazing? And the Holy Spirit wants to empower you. He wants to give you new abilities, new gifts, and all you need to do is ask for it. Isn't that great? Okay, aren't you glad we're living in this time? So when we repent before the Lord, when we obey him, one of the things that I discovered is when you obey the Lord, even if you don't understand what he's saying to you, but obedience releases God's blessing and the presence of the Holy Spirit. So no matter what God tells you, even if it doesn't make sense, if you obey the word of the Lord, he is going to release even greater the Spirit's work and presence. Now, this is a prayer that I like to pray every day. Maybe we can pray this together. For some of you, this might be the first time you ever heard about praying for the filling of the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you, it works. Okay, and let's just read this together. Okay, this is a sample prayer. Can we just read that together? Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, my Savior and my Lord. Please forgive my sins and cleanse me with your blood. Please fill me with the Holy Spirit and give me all the gifts you want me to have. In your name I pray. Amen. You know, I've been praying this prayer for a long time. And I remember that when I came here, when I first came here to Vineyard, I thought that my role was to do teaching. So I did a lot of teaching. I taught Bible studies and things like that. But I never thought that I was very good in leading people to Christ. But then later on, God was telling me, God through the Holy Spirit, says, Howard, I want you to start leading people to Christ. And before, I kept saying, well, I'm a teacher. I don't know how to speak to people. But then as I began to obey, then God began to help me to lead more and more people to Christ. Okay? And so I wanted to say that to you. When you obey the Lord, He's going to release His Spirit in greater ways. And no matter what God tells you, when you obey, you'll see a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit in greater ways. So I'd like to close my message this morning. Are you willing to turn to God? Are you willing to obey the Lord? And here's some action points I'd like to just share with you. Are you willing to turn to God and renew your life in worship and obedience? And secondly, are you willing to trust and obey the Lord, knowing that He will provide? And thirdly, are you willing to ask God for a greater empowerment of the Holy Spirit? I'd like to ask the worship team to come up at this time. And also, I'd like to ask the prayer intercessors to come up at this time. My friends, I just wanted to share with you this morning that if you're going through a tough time, that God wants to restore you and He wants to heal you. And I'm just wondering if there might be some people this morning, as you're listening to this message this morning, I'm just wondering if you're suffering from some hurts and pains in your past. For example, that you might have some really bad memories or something happened in your past that caused you a lot of pain or a lot of grief. I believe that God wants to set you free from those painful memories in the past. Also, for some of you, you might be praying to God for provision for something, and you still haven't seen God to provide that. And maybe you're feeling very discouraged, or you're wondering, God, what are you doing? And are you willing to trust and obey the Lord? Just ask Him to just fill your vats with grain and bring restoration to you. And also, some of you today, I'm just wondering, maybe this is the first time you hear about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you willing to come and receive the filling of the Holy Spirit? Ask God's presence to be with you. And also, there might be some with some unspoken prayer needs. So feel free to come up at this time. And I believe that God's going to minister to you. So I'd like to just close in a word of prayer. And then just let Heavenly Father, we just want to praise you and thank you that you're a God who loves us, Lord. And Lord, that you want to restore us. And you want to provide for us. And you want to heal us, Lord. So we just want to turn back to you. We want to worship you. We want to honor you. And we want to obey you. So Lord, we just pray that you would just, again, fill us with your Holy Spirit and empower us to live each day